Thank you, Brad, for your prayer. Thank you, Will, in leading the songs. And we appreciate everybody's presence tonight. We know you might have had other places to be, but we're glad that you chose to come tonight and worship with us here at O'Neill. And I know you're probably visiting family, and we're glad to see lots of familiar faces in the crowd, and glad you're with us tonight. Tonight I want to speak to you on how's your heart. And we see from Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 and 24, we see David here. And as David here, he is opening up his heart and he's allowing God to search his heart. He's asking him. He's asking God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Could you imagine here, he's opening up his heart and saying, "Look at my heart. Look at it. Is there anything wicked? Is there anything sinful there? If there is, lead me in that way that leads to way everlasting. Show me the way." You know, it's easy sometimes for us to be fooled into thinking that, you know, that our heart's in a pretty good condition. We're pretty good at telling ourselves sometimes and thinking, "Well, you know what, I'm a good person. You know, I attend church services 2 times a week, three times a week. You know, I go to Bible study and I read my Bible pretty regularly. I give every Sunday. And, you know, I'm kind to my family. I'm kind to friends. I'm kind to my coworkers. I pray for others. I volunteer in the community." And wouldn't we say that these things are pretty good characteristics of a good heart? I would say so. That's what you would want to find in someone with a good heart. But, you know, as we look at and this may be a description of most everybody that's listening to my voice right now. But when we look a little bit deeper sometimes into our heart, what do we find? Can we ask, and can we, when we tell God to search me, to know my heart, you know, do we really want God searching our hearts? What will he find in this heart of Matt Taylor? What will he find in your heart? Will it be something that he's going to be honored and he's going to be glorified with? Is it something that he's going to be pleased with? Are we pleased with what we find and what we know is in our hearts at times? Do we feel like sometimes that our hearts, that they are in that good condition? You know, and if the thoughts of our hearts were really visible for everyone else to see, if our mind, and it displayed like this screen up here, if we walked around and then all of a sudden here our thoughts are posted on a billboard or on the wall, are we going to be justified? Yes, we're living and we're thinking just like we should. Or are those thoughts that we're thinking, would we be humiliated with others seeing what is in our really, truly, deep down in our hearts? What about when someone tells you a lie or tells a lie on you? How's your heart? When someone hurts your kids or when someone breaks your heart, how's your heart? When you're impatient, when you're frustrated with things that are going on, what would be displayed up there? When you hear inappropriate topics or you're looking at inappropriate things, what is going to flash up on that screen? When you watch and listen to things that are suggestive, what's going to come out on the screen? When we're not thinking about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, how is our heart? When we're not thinking on things that are true, when we're not thinking about things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure and lovely and of good report, is there any praise if we're not thinking on those things? These are all praiseworthy for a Christian to have. It's all praiseworthy for us to have and to think on. These are things that are praiseworthy for us to have in our heart. But even sometimes, even the best heart can get burdened down, can get weak, and can get sick with sin. So we ask tonight, is your heart right with God? Is it right now? Is it right with God? Will's going to lead us in one verse of "Is thy heart right with God?" And now, What if your heart was not right with God? And that was it. And it was said and done, and that was the last verse of an invitation song or a last service that you may have ever attended. Where would you be right now tonight if the world were to come to an end? That's why I say when we look at our heart and we ask that question, how is your heart? That's why we want to constantly be aware of the condition of our heart. And we're very aware of the sick list. We have it in the bulletin. We post it up all the time on our announcements. Every service, we post the sick list. These are people that we want to pray for because they're sick, because they have some kind of physical ailment that we want God to help them to have a better day. Maybe even having a night that they can go to sleep and have a full night's rest. But what if we had a sick soul list, and we had that projected? People, brothers and sisters who had fallen into sin, brothers and sisters who had fallen away from the church, people maybe within our congregation tonight who haven't even obeyed the gospel. What if we had that list? We posted that list and we thought about that. Would my name be up there? Would your name be up there? That's why we want to look at our hearts. We want to see what's in our heart. And sometimes when we allow God to search our hearts, He may find a broken heart. Especially during this time of year when we're missing a loved one. When we're longing, and we know we have members of our congregation who've had to make some really tough decisions within the last 24 hours about whether to give their loved one medicine or to not take the medicine away. We know that, or maybe it's a relationship that just hasn't worked out and our hearts are broken. Maybe it's the kids that we don't get to see. Maybe that's something that's breaking our hearts. Sometimes when He looks into our hearts, He may find a divided heart. He may find people who are uncertain in the direction in which they want to go. They can't decide if they want to live for God or if they want to live for themselves. They can't decide in making a choice on a godly path or making that choice that leads to death and leads to sin and leads to a direction that is far away from God. When we allow God to search our hearts, He may find that we may have a hardened heart. Our heart is one maybe that's judgmental, one that brings harsh judgments on others. It may be one that refuses to make changes in their lives. He may say this heart that refuses to leave that life of sin. He may even see that one that enjoys more pleasures than obeying the gospel. When I think about this broken heart, and when I think about this divided heart, when I think about these hardened hearts, and if I were sick, where would I go? If I was sick and I needed to be healed, where would I go? Well, if it was bad enough, I would go to the hospital here. I would go to the hospital and I would go in here and see if they I'd want to see the nurse, I'd want to see the doctor, I'd want to see somewhere where there was some medicine to cure me. You want to go to a place that gets you well. We have a lot of sickness with the flu right now, and where do these people go? They go to some of these doctors. They want to get some medicine. What about those individuals that are spiritually sick? Where do they go? Sometimes do you wonder, am I beyond repair? Am I beyond saving? Is God listening to my pleas when I am begging Him things? Will He forgive me? I've had someone tell me before they didn't believe that God would forgive them for things they had done. Can we forgive ourselves for things we've done in the past? Will God heal? Can He heal me? Will He heal me? Can He heal me of my sickness? Will He be long-suffering? Will He be patient with me? See, in the Scriptures we read in Jeremiah chapter 8, where Judah is warned of the destruction their destruction they're going to face of the Babylonians. And even in verse 3, they said they would rather chose death than over the life for them because of the things that were going to happen to them. And Jeremiah responds in verse 22, he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there not something? Is there not some medicine, somebody that can heal or save us? See, here, these scripture references here, the balm of Gilead, we have a song in our songbook that we're going to sing here in just a moment. But it's an African-American spiritual that compares the healing balm to save. It compares the healing balm to the saving power of Jesus. The one true treatment. The one true treatment that never fails to heal the wounded, our spiritual wounds. Verse 881, there's a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And that balm in Gilead is the saving power of Jesus Christ. Here I've often referred and likened sometimes to the church, to a hospital. And it's where we go visit our doctor. It's where we go to visit and get our medicine. It's where we go to visit our loved ones. And it's where we go to get healed. And when we're spiritual sick, we need that encouragement. We need to see Jesus. We need to see our doctor. We need to see the great physician. We need our medicine. We need the encouragement from others. We need to be lifted up one with another. So when we come here, we encourage our brothers and our sisters. That, in Hebrews, we often talk about Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. We usually talk about the part of where we're forsaking the assembly of the church. But why is that a big deal? Why is that important? Because he says, look in verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but doing what? Exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. So when we're here, we're all here, we're sinners who are coming to get healed. When we leave this building here and we go out into the world and we say and do things that we shouldn't, but when we come here, this is where we get healed. This is where we come and we share with one another. We encourage one another. We may have a broken heart. We may have a divided heart. We may have a hardened heart. But it's here that we come and we get that medicine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, a broken heart, a merry heart does good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. So our broken heart, when we come to the doctor, can become a mended heart. You see, in God's Word, we find ways to heal our broken heart. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In Psalm chapter 147, verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And no matter what it is that we're facing in our life, We can read in Romans chapter 8, verse 39, that neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We read, and no wonder we can read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, when he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It's here where that heart can be mended. Our heart, that one that has been divided and can't make up their mind, can be one that is a united heart. One that we can see in Psalm chapter 86, verse 11, when he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." In James chapter 4, he wants us to draw near to God, and he's going to draw near to us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, what did he say? He said, "No man can serve two masters. For either you're going to hate the one and you're going to love the other, or else you're going to hold the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice. You can't have both ways. You've got to have a heart that is united for God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, what does he tell us? He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We sang that song about having love. What is love? God is love, and it's in Him that we have that united heart. That hardened heart can become one that is an open heart. One that is open, one that is not wax gross, as we see in Matthew chapter 13 and also in Acts chapter 28, when it says, "For this people's heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed." He says, "Lest at any time should they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." See, that's what Jesus does. That's what He does to those hearts that are hardened. He can heal those hardened hearts. We see from a great example here of Lydia in Acts chapter 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, who is a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. When her heart was open, when she allowed the truth to come in, it says that she attended unto all the things which were spoken of Paul, and she was baptized in her household, and she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide with me." And she constrained us. Here you had someone's heart who was open, someone's heart who took in the truth and obeyed the gospel. That's what the power of the gospel does. That's what the saving power of Jesus does. Sometimes we lose our focus, don't we? We lose focus of what we need to do. And I had a little story sent to me. I wanted to share it with you. It's a lady went to her preacher of the church, and she said, "I'm not going to be attending church anymore." Well, the preacher asked, "Well, may I ask why?" And she said, "You know, I see people on their cell phones texting. I see them typing during service. Some are even gossiping. They just aren't living right. Some of people are sleeping. Some are staring at me. They're just all hypocrites." But the preacher was quiet. He was silent. He said, "Well, can I ask you to do something for me before you make your final decision to stop coming?" She said, "Sure, what's that?" Well, so he gives her a glass of water. And he says, "I want you to walk around the church two times and don't let any of that water fall out of the glass." And she says, "I can do that." So she went, she got the glass of water, she walks around the church two times, and she came back, and she said, "It's done, I've done it, I walked around two times." The preacher then asked her some questions. He said, "Did you see anybody on their phone? Did you see anybody gossiping? Was anybody living wrong? Did you see anyone sleeping?" She said, "I didn't see anything because I was so focused on this glass so the water wouldn't spill out." He said, "Well, when you come to church, you should be just that focused on God so that you don't fall. That's why Jesus said, 'Follow me.' He didn't say, 'Follow Christians.' So don't let your relationship with God be determined by how others relate with God. Let it be determined by how focused you are with God." See, when we have our hearts and when we focus our heart, we shouldn't be worried about all the things that are going on the outside. We should be focused and looking on the inside, because that's what God does. He looks at our heart, and He's looking at our hearts tonight. And when we search our, when He searches our hearts, what is He going to see? Do we need our heart to be clean tonight? Psalms 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew my steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a new heart. It may be that you've fallen away tonight, that you need to come back to Him. You need your heart to be cleansed. Maybe that you need to put away some of those things in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. When He says, you let all bitterness, you let all anger, you let all wrath and clamor and evil speaking, you put those things away. But He says, you be kind to one another. You be tender-hearted. You be forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see, we come here to get healed. We come here to seek forgiveness through the One who forgives. Colossians 1:13-14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Who has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins? This morning, Guy had a quote, and I wrote it down because I thought it was made me think a whole lot. He says, we cannot remain the same. We cannot remain the same when God's Word finds lodgment in our hearts. How's your heart? Is God in it? If He's not in it tonight, won't you come forward and ask for forgiveness and confess your sins? If you're not a Christian, become one. Come forward tonight and become a Christian. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?